And now, IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme, the voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
Okay, coming up very shortly, stay with us. We've got the very latest appeals and information from Angada Síochána. Also, too, as part of the item this week, there's been conversations over the last couple of weeks about modified cars and insurance and what have you. We have a member of Angada Síochána who is an expert in this regard as well. So we'll be answering any questions on about modified cars, legality, illegality and all of that kind of stuff. If you have any questions on modded cars, by the way, please get them into us, 086 60 25,000. I'll try and get some answers for you. I'm sure I will. Some clarity for you where required. Dolores on Facebook. Good morning to you, Dolores. Always great to have you on board, by the way. I do note the regulars. Oh my God, Greg, I've just joined our broadband, but trying to get through to a member of staff and add my phone number, it's a no-go. It's a wait of 20 minutes or more. So annoying if there's so many staff working and I just get cut off again and again, sitting in limbo. I tried to add my phone number myself and blocked myself. So it's just hard to crack on my part. Now my first payment is ready to be taken and I was told of this yesterday. Thank you for taking this up on your show. Maybe Air would see this comment from myself. Well, fingers crossed, Dolores, probably not likely. But ironically, maybe with this attention that has been focused on Air as a result of this court case, maybe they might improve things. So good morning to Dolores, Beth, Kathy, Anthony, Grania, amongst the hundreds watching the show as well. Very good to have you on board. If you're watching at home or if you're at home, you can watch us on your big screen TV, your smart TV, or your Fire Stick if you have one of those. We are on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. We're also across the X platform, broadcasting across the world. Good to have you on board there as well. And on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport. And indeed, there's a Watch Live button on the website, our own website, which I don't mention enough, perhaps. My husband was called for an appointment in early March of this year for a heart issue in Letterkenny University Hospital, says one of our listeners. He looked for that appointment 8 years ago in March 2016. Had he have had that appointment in 2016, he may not have had the damage he has now. 8 years, wow. We were talking about the return scheme. I used the machine the first time last week, was pleased with it, and it gave me a voucher which I was able to take off my groceries price. Indeed, and I suppose whilst we, and it's like everything in life as well, while we highlight where things need improvement or there are deficiencies, it is accepted that for some it works really well or that there is positivity as well. By the way, I think that's clear to most people. It should be anyway. McFadden's in Remelton gives you money back. Okay, I bought water in Lidl with the deposit on it, took them to the recycling in Dunn's and the machine wouldn't accept them, ended up putting them in the bin rather than taking them home again. This recycling scheme's a scam, believes the listener. Everyone pays the extra charge, the government gets the money, and then the hiccups and the rejections end in frustration and no money back. There's as much being dumped along the road and in forests now than ever. Maybe it will take a time to bed in. I don't know. A much simpler scheme system should have offered a receipt or cash offer in return. A caller says, in relation to Simon Harris, I hope he hurries up and goes to Paris, etc. As nobody wants him here, Simon Harris will not be missed. That comes in from Mary. Simon Harris has a great deal of support, Mary, but I take your point, not amongst you. Hi, Greg asked what can be done to reduce road deaths. When the Garda were in charge of road speeding checks, there was a lot less speeding and dangerous driving. Speed detection vans are easily seen and predictable as to where they are or where they'll be sighted. And when stopped by Garda for speeding, other offences can be detected. It really is a no-brainer. Of course, and I think the majority of us know where the vans are. If you wanted to speed between the vans, you know, it wouldn't be very hard to do. I'm not endorsing or condoning that. I'm just saying that's a reality. Gregory Rhodes, I think the main problem on the roads are persons not paying attention to their driving, mobile phones, changing the radio, etc. Plus the fact of us being driven on the roads that we are used to is one thing. But for the persons that are driving on roads they wouldn't be familiar with, that's another issue. I couldn't imagine going to a country where I never drove in before and got behind the wheel of a vehicle. I'd need to be very familiar with my surroundings, that's for sure. Well, I drove in Spain once and this is not contradict you, it's just to have the convo like we might if we were sitting in your kitchen. Like when I drove in Spain, I was extra careful because we were on the wrong side of the road, in inverted commas. I was extra careful of my lane discipline. I was extra careful of T-junctions and roundabouts because that's where the challenge was. So I actually found myself, sometimes I think when you drive, you can sort of as much as you would try to stay focused. I mean, have you ever drove somewhere and then you're there and you've been thinking and you wonder, well, that went quick. Whereas if I'm driving in unfamiliar surroundings, I find that I'm more switched on. Greg, of course, Simon Harris is 100% correct in what he said. He was being honest in saying that he was of a generation that are more familiar with Berlin or London than Belfast or Derry. He's trying to open up a discussion on this and make people of his generation more aware of Belfast and Derry. And I recognise that and I get that. But it doesn't talk to the people that Derry and Belfast are just as much part of our lives as, to say, more part of our lives than Dublin and Cork. You know, my point is, if you're a leader for all, you should choose your language more carefully, and you should say, I'm of a generation in some parts of this country, and language matters. And people, well, you're being fussy, but language does matter. You layer it on top of one thing after another. The messaging is vital. The government have mostly former journalists who sold out for the money. They have hundreds of journalists working for them who should have the knowledge to say, by the way, do you know when you're speaking or you're choosing your language, we just have to be conscious that there are people further north in the country that are very familiar with Derry and Belfast. And in using the words that you're using, like you are, you know, you could be disenfranchising them. So say what you're going to say, because the point you're making is pretty good, right? But just let's change the language a little bit and say in some parts of this country. That's it. Messaging. Simple. Then it feels like a leader for all, in inverted commas. And anyway, it's not something. There's so much going on in this world. It's not something I'm too bothered by. I just get frustrated at the simple things too sometimes. Good morning, Greg. Limiters on all cars is the only way to go. They also say speed kills. Well, that let's take away the speed. We don't need speed if people don't like it. Let them take public travel. They'll soon come around. More visible Garda on the roads, more checkpoints. Haven't seen one since COVID. Drove to Dublin a few times from Gore to Hawk last week. You see no one. Crazy driving on the roads. That comes in from Cahill. Cal, I drove down to Dublin for that Donegal Person of the Year Awards. And, excuse me, I didn't see a single Garda car, and I was looking out for them. And also, too, which I thought was quite interesting, the rally. Where was the rally on 2 weeks ago? Was it Monaghan? I think it might have been on in Monaghan. Was it Monaghan 2 weeks ago? Drove through Monaghan and there were thousands of cars lining the street and vroom, vroom, vroom and all that kind of stuff. No one misbehaving. Didn't see one single Garda vehicle going up and down through Monaghan. And this was on the Saturday and the Sunday. And it was wedged with cars. So in all of that journey and going through an actual rally, didn't see a car. Of a Garda car. In terms of road safety, the roads must be safe. I saw one Go Safe van as well. In terms of road safety, the roads must be safe for cars to drive on, potholes, etc. I agree with you, and I hope you recognise that. I think I've said this on the show a number of times. We need to be talking more about also the other contributing factor is road conditions. A caller says young men's brains don't stop developing until they are 26. Australian studies in road collisions show young men don't have a mature sense of fear until 26, so they drive like mad, as they have no fear when that young. I don't know. Like, I mean, I can only go from the boys that are around me. They're pretty switched on, but I take your point. It's a study.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
It's 20 past 10 on this Tuesday, the 16th of April, 2024. It's time for Community Garda information, and we've got two guests in studio with us today. We have our usual guest, Garda Sean Sweeney from the Buncrana Garda Station. Sean, good morning to you. You'll be going through the usual appeals and information. We're also joined by Sergeant Michael Kilcoyne from the Ballybuffet Garda Station to discuss car modifications. That's coming a little bit later on. Michael, what will you want to be talking about when we get to you?
It'll be just in relation to the modified vehicles or modifications to vehicles. So the likes of your tinted windows, changes to suspensions, but not just alone modifications. Such as that, but say an individual is doing up a vehicle and they make modifications to the original specifications from the manufacturer.
Brilliant.
So that's what I was
thinking. Okay, so as I say, along those general lines, if you want to get involved in the conversation, please feel free to text us now on 086 60 25000, and Sergeant Kilcoyne will, of course, endeavour to answer all questions. Okay, but we'll start with our appeals. And firstly, Sean, a burglary in Letterkenny, Gardaí seeking the public's assistance in this regard.
Yeah, Greg, this occurred at Oaklands Park, Letterkenny, between 3:30pm and 5:30pm on Monday the 8th of April. The rear window of the vacant property smashed and entry was gained. There was an attempt to steal the copper cylinder, but this was abandoned outside the property, but there was water damage caused inside of the house. So appeal to anybody who may have observed suspicious activity on that day to contact Letterkenny on 07491671100 or alternatively the confidential line on 1800 666 111.
Now, there is a theft and a recovery of a car in Letterkenny, the subject of the next...
We're looking for assistance. It's theft of a black Mercedes E-Series. The parcel registration of 161D166. This was taken from Carnamugger Close in Letterkenny on Wednesday, the 10th of April, shortly after 11pm. It was then located on the Pierce Road on Friday, the 12th of April at 4:45am. So appeal to anybody who observed the car being driven at any stage between those dates to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny, or if you believe you may have captured in dashcam footage again on those dates, contact Letterkenny on again 67100 or the confidential line.
And we did speak to the owner of that car on the show last week. I think it was Friday, actually. It's still available on the podcast, and it just gives an insight into the mechanism that was employed for the taking of that car. It had originally been advertised on Facebook Marketplace, again, separate to the Garda appeal, but that might be interesting for those who want to avoid being caught out themselves. Right, now your colleagues in Buncrana investigating a theft?
Yeah, this occurred at the Caravan Park in the Loddon area between 10pm on Monday the 8th of April and 7am on Tuesday the 9th of April. Two doors were stolen from the caravan in the park between those times. There's no entry gained and nothing was stolen from within. So appeal to anybody who observed any suspicious activity in the area between Monday night and Tuesday morning to contact Gardaí Macrana on 93205 40.
All right, now we're focusing on a theft in the Cullion Road area.
Yeah, Gardaí contact by a resident there. It's in relation to theft at approximately 2am on Sunday the 14th of April at their home. The caller observed a male at the rear of the property at the time, and we realised he'd been seen, he took off on foot. The caller later realised that a bank card had been stolen from the car, which had been unlocked. So we appeal to other residents in the area to make contact with us in Letterkenny on 67100 if they observed male and foot in the area in the early hours of Sunday morning, approximately 2am. Or if anybody travelling that area around that time with dashcam footage, we ask them, please make it available to us.
Yeah, of course. And unfortunately, this does serve as a reminder that even though our vehicles might be closed to our houses or what we deem to be in a safe place, they have to be secured.
Exactly, Greg. Yeah, look, please ensure it's locked at all times. And if it's left unattended, even if it's parked at home or a public place, please make sure there's no cash or valuables in it. And just in relation to your keys, keep them out of sight and away from your windows at home.
Yeah, indeed. Right, now, your colleagues in Moville focusing on a criminal damage incident.
Yeah, the appealing for witnesses to this criminal damage at the Marcus Square in Moville. This happened approximately 9:15pm on Sunday the 14th of April. Two men who were believed to be intoxicated are reported to have caused damage to the flower beds in the area around that time. So if anybody observed this incident, we'd like to speak to them. Again, anybody who may have dashcam footage that was driving through the Marcus Square in Moville on Sunday between the hours of 8:30pm and 9:30pm, we'd appreciate their assistance. So you could call Buncrana on 93205 40.
And maybe those responsible are feeling a little bit fresher and regret their actions, and they could help.
We'd hope so.
I think in coming forward, you would hope so indeed. Right, okay, criminal damage now in Carn Donagh.
Yeah, this was an attempted theft of the premises on the Church Road, Carn Donagh, on Sunday the 14th of April, shortly before midday. So CCTV is being collected and viewed, but we also wish to appeal for dashcam footage from that area on the date between the hours of 11:30am and 12:30pm. We're particularly interested in sightings or dashcam footage of a silver beige Skoda Octavia that was in the area at the time. So we'd ask if anybody could assist us with this, call Buncrana on 93205 40. Or the confidential line again, 1800 666 111.
All right, next one. You're not going to get it on the Dublin Community Guard slot, I don't think. But look, if we can help, we can help.
Exactly, Greg. Yeah, we're contacted by a landowner in the Fannamore Falcara area in relation to 8 sheep that have been in his land for the past few days, and he doesn't know who owns them. He's asked around locally, but he can't locate the owner. We're hoping that the owner might hear appeal today and contact Gardaí in Milford on 915-3060.
Yep, and we've had it in the past, not too distant past, in fact, whereby someone can suspect their animals have been stolen and they turn up on land close by. This is Fannamore Falcarra, eight sheep. So if you're missing eight sheep, and it's that time of year where I think everyone's counting their sheep at this stage and their lambs, get in touch with the Gardaí and he can put you, or they can put you in contact with that landowner. All right, some questions that have come in over the last wee while, and maybe you can help, Sean. Do tow companies have to report a crash? Because we were talking also, this might be unrelated, but we were also talking about how people, there was one listener whose fence keeps getting damaged, right? And by the time they come on the damage, the car's gone.
Yes.
So presumably this triggered this kind of a conversation if the car's being towed by an official tow company. Could be a tractor, it could be anything. But do tow companies have an obligation or a role in reporting a crash?
Well, the short answer is no. The obligation is not on the tow company, but it's on the drivers involved to report the collision. So if you're involved in a collision, you have to stay at the scene. You have to remain there for a reasonable amount of time. You provide information to Gareth if they're present at the scene, such as your name and address, the address where the car is kept, the name and address of the car owner, the registration and the motor insurance details. But if they're Gareth present, this information can be provided on the person through the injured person or someone's been hurt, or again, maybe the owner of the fence there, you're obliged to give the information to them, or a person asking on their behalf, again, the owner of the property. And if none of these are present, it's an independent person. But if there's no independent person, call the Gardaí station. You're obliged to report to the Gardaí. So ring into the station, just say you've been involved in this and give your details.
If you knock a fence over and you leave, you are officially leaving the scene of an accident.
That's correct,
you
know,
and all the consequences the damage, of that. Yeah, okay. A caller wanted to know, can you cross a white line to overtake a bike?
Well, if we're going down by the rules of the road as they're written, if there's a single or double continuous white lane along the centre of the road, all traffic must keep to the left of the lane except in the emergency. Look, we'll just say it's best.
I was going to say, that's going to be a long, long drive from Carrigart to...
Yes, exactly, yeah. So depending on the location. Look, it's best to wait till it's safe to overtake. There's road markings there for a reason. We just ask, never put any cyclist or other road user at risk. And just be aware that there are penalty points for crossing a continuous white lane. But again, the circumstances of that will come into play.
Yeah, okay, right. Thanks very much for that. Really do appreciate it. That's Garda Sean Swinney from the Buncrana Garda Station. We're joined also in studio, as I mentioned, by Sergeant Michael Kilcoyne from the Ballybuffet Garda Station to discuss car modifications. And do you come at this, Michael, as a car lover yourself?
Yeah, I've been involved with cars since I was very young myself. I have a couple of vehicles in the shed that I've had over the last couple of years, vintage cars, so something I have a keen interest in.
Yeah, and so also you'd be with me in agreeing that we're talking about car modifications. It's not necessarily the same as those that drive dangerously on the roads or those that might be deemed girl or boy racers. You know, we recognise there is a community out there that their love is their car.
Oh, totally. There's a community out there that they'll build a vehicle from the ground up, a nut and bolt restoration, as it's known, and these vehicles are their pride and joy. It's a small minority that is on the roads that are causing issues. We're not saying that a modified vehicle is somebody that's out there that is causing trouble on the roads. So, like, when we look at it, like, a modification of a vehicle is if you make a change to the manufacturer's original design, such as changing the engine, the suspension, brakes, are sort of the three main factors there. But any modification you do make must be carried out to an appropriate safety standard and by a professional garage.
So say, for instance, you drop the car, lower the car,
yes,
and maybe change the wheels. That's not how Audi sent the car out or whatever car it might be. How can you do that to comply with the law?
So to comply with the, say, for the point of insurance aspects. So essentially any modification that is breaking the law. So say... will cause your insurance to be, can cause your insurance to be invalidated. So that is changes to suspension, tinted windows that restrict more than 65% of sunlight, sound modifiers, and illegal changes to wheels is one of the ones covered by the insurance companies. So if you lower your vehicle and put on, we'll say, larger wheels from what came as a manufacturer, that can affect the steering. It could cause that the vehicle is rubbing along the inner arches, which when you're driving on we'll say, a back road or a road that is of an uneven gradient, that the vehicle is your turning circle is reduced, or you come across a hazard, you're not able to react as well at the time.
And that car would have gone through safety testing and what have you. You can see it stamped in different parts of the vehicle or what have you, about how many passengers, how it deals with passengers, the weight distribution, and how that the relationship between that and the brakes and all that kind of stuff. Is there any way that you can do that is legal? Like, you know, say you notify, you know, say you were able to get the car insured. Does it have to be fit to pass the NCT as it's driven around 365 days of the year?
Yeah, so any vehicle that has a modification, if it passes the NCT, it is at an appropriate standard.
Right.
But if you do make modifications, there is individuals out there, they are in engineers or an automotive engineer assessor who can go and certify your vehicle. Once that is certified, you can give that cert to your insurance company, that the vehicle is up to a standard to be on the road.
And do a lot of people do that, do you think?
Some people, from the aspect of the car scene in relation to your vintage vehicles and that, a lot of people would, if they're making modifications to changes of engines, or say an individual who has bought a passenger Jeep who changes it to a commercial Jeep.
Yep.
They'd be the more in line with what you see would be going to these automotive engineer assessors to get that.
And what about sort of if you bring in a rare Japanese car where the template might not be as clear?
Yeah, so any vehicle that comes in is there's a certificate of conformability from the manufacturer. So the likes of, we'd say, Japanese vehicles, once they come into the country, they're obviously VRT'd. They go through the process of been imported, and they'll have to go through an NCT like any other vehicle. So once they pass their NCT, they're allowed to be on the road. Yep. Now again, it's the modifications that we're talking about are modifications that affect the safety standard of the vehicle. So if you have a vehicle on the road where we say excessively tinted windows, so some people don't see this as an issue, but it's like, for example, we say wearing sunglasses at night. At least the sunglasses can be taken off, but with the tinted windows, they're permanently on the vehicle.
In relation to that, a caller says, "Hi, Greg, what's the law with regards to windscreen tinting? Some cars driving around with tints on all windows, impossible to identify the driver. Is there any level of tinting that's permitted on the front passenger and windscreen?"
Yes, so on the front three windows, so on the driver, passenger side and front windscreen, it has to allow 65% of light through the windscreen or side windows. So saying that, if you look on your windscreen, there's a little CCC number, and there is a percentage of tint already in the glass.
I get you.
So once, if you add an additional tint, you will be bringing, the majority of them do bring it below what is the legal requirement. But
in your experience, say someone who's just right on the limit, how does that appear sort of outwardly looking at the windscreen? It's obviously tinted, is it?
Yeah, there's one there that... that there is tint on the vehicle, and it is so light, it is nearly impossible to say that the windscreen is tinted.
Understood, right.
Like what we have to take into account is, if you permanently tint your glass to an excessive level, while it might improve your ability to drive in bright sunlight, it will restrict your view in dark conditions. Yeah. And this may prevent you from seeing other motorists or pedestrians, especially in and around the town area. And I've been at... an accident recently enough where, as a result of the windscreen being so excessively tinted, he wasn't able to see a pedestrian crossing the road. Yeah. So like
I don't think anyone knowingly wants to put themselves in that position.
No, I don't think anyone is doing it to cause an issue for themselves or anyone else. But I think it's just more that it's the aesthetics of the vehicle. They think it looks better, but they have to look at the health and safety side of it as well.
In relation to the privacy glass, rear window, rear passenger windows, they
can be tinted as dark as you want. Okay, it's the same as if you have your commercial vehicle. The three back could be a steel, so those three back windows are okay.
So just in relation to modifications here and sort of the role in the Gardaí, right? So say, and a caller says, my son's changed the exhaust in his car. Does that count as modified, right? So it does, because you've mentioned that, right? But so say he lowers the car and puts on an exhaust, doesn't notify the insurance company. And in the event of a claim, it certainly could void elements of his insurance. Yes. But what's the role in the Gardaí as the in-between in relation to that, right? So if I pull up to a checkpoint and it's clear I've no insurance, it's very clear what your role is,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But you might not be aware that I haven't informed the insurance company of these modifications or they've accepted them, or is there a rolling guardian on the side of the road in that regard?
So in relation to, we've had a lot of advances with our mobility apps and that we can see a vehicle is insured. But if we come across an issue with the vehicle, we say that we believe that there is an element where a disclosure has been made to an insurance company. So when you take out your insurance, the insurance company asks you, is there any modifications to the vehicle? So you say yes or no. So if we find a vehicle that is heavily modified and we believe that it's a health and safety issue, or we believe that the individual hasn't disclosed this, we can make inquiries with the insurance company. But a lot of the time is on the side of the road, if we stop a driver who has excessively tinted windows, we can give them the option to remove it there and then, which a lot of drivers will take that opportunity to remove the tint. In relation to the exhaust, again, if it doesn't pass the NCT, it won't pass.
But a lot of people switch out springs and exhausts.
Yes, it's something that is, in the last number of years, it has started to increase again. We are out on the roads, we are engaging with these drivers, and a lot of it is trying to engage with these drivers and provide them with the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong.
It's a toughie, isn't it? Because you do know the majority of these people just really love their cars. That's where they spend all the money. We kind of started the conversation with that, and it's their pride and joy in their baby, and they do nothing to sort of damage it, right?
Yes.
But the way it is in this country, a lot of the times they are having to drive illegally.
Yes, a lot of people out there make these modifications, don't realise they have to notify their insurance. And like, if you are involved in a road traffic collision, an insurance company can see that as an added risk that they weren't notified of. And so if your pride and joy, you are unfortunately involved in an accident and nobody else is involved, it's just yourself, the insurance companies can reduce the amount of the payout they give you. They could decide that because you didn't notify them of the modifications, that they'll only give you 50% of the value of the vehicle as part of the risk element that was incorporated into them not being notified. So there is those elements there as well in relation to you making the modifications but not notifying the insurance.
A caller says every other car in Donegal has a non-standard number plate. Is that a modification or not? Oh, I might change my number plates. He's wobbling, Caroline. Get me the number plate, man.
So in relation to the number plate has to be within the regulations of the NCT. That is your blue IRL with the standard font, which is that we can read. You see number plates out there that are tinted. You see number plates out there that are, the writing on them is hard to decipher. So they are number plates where we will stop the driver, we will engage with the driver, and provide them with the correct information that they need.
Same with the tint. You're not looking to do people on the spot there.
But they do tint their number plates as well, where we actually physically can't read the number plate. So those number plates, if we can't read it, it's an illegal number plate.
Mm.
So we will engage and provide.
But is there some flexibility on the font then?
As long as there is, I don't have it on
no,
me
no,
at the
that's
minute,
okay.
But there is an exact size of font that is illegal. Now, if we can read the font that's on it and it's not excessively small or excessively away from that, then it's fine, we can see it. But if you have the likes of ones where they're tinted or that they're obscured in any way, then there's an issue with
it. Yeah, I think particularly too, there's a line between what might look better and what is done to sort of try and circumvent cameras or the law.
If it's to change it for the aesthetics, as in they're making the font, realigning it or whatever it is, that's fine. It's not going to, as long as it can be read. But it's the case of where it's adjusted to the fact that it can't be read or it's trying to hide it.
All right, caller says, how do you modify cars? How do modified cars pass an NCT? And if it's not an issue there, how is it an issue for the Garda? We've kind of touched on that a little bit because, go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, so a lot of the vehicles we would see on the road would have an NCT, but a lot of the modifications would be made after the fact. So you would see an individual who has their car lowered, putting in the correct suspension or the correct springs back in to bring it back up to the standard ride height before it goes through the NCT. They'll take off they'll change their exhaust, put back in their cat, they'll put back in the proper muffler on it to reduce the sound, and the tents come off, and then
they'll go and they can do that in a day.
Within a couple of hours.
Yeah, it does happen. Yeah.
So they may have a valid NCT, but it was the vehicle presented to the NCT centre in the same way.
This is just a by the by, but it might be quite serious to some people. Pretty much around rally time, but all year round, you can see extremely rude and sexist stickers on cars, which can cause a public offence. Are they ever asked to remove them? Or
yes. So especially the main time we seem to come across this is around Donegal, Rally Donegal.
Because it gets viral. People take pictures or TikToks and, it goes around the place.
Yeah, so like under Section 6 of the Public Order Act, the threatening, if it's offensive to people, it can be a public order aspect if you have that on your vehicle.
All right. Is there anything else that you think we should talk about? Because I've sort of gone through some listeners' questions and some of the obvious things, but I mean, someone just who's well up on this area, is there anything else that you think we should mention?
Just like in relation to modifications, we've spoken about what we classify as the boy racers or girl racers, but like there is other modifications that are done to vehicles. You have people out there who may have bought a passenger vehicle who have converted it to a commercial, or vice versa, a commercial vehicle to a passenger. Just for these people to be aware that these modifications need to be notified. They have to notify their insurance company, and they have to make sure that they're gone through the appropriate assessor for that work. The individuals that are out in the road, as we said, they're not all out there causing trouble. A lot of people are looking after their cars, and they are the pride and joy. It's just that if we can educate them and make them more aware of what is the correct way to have it.
I think really what's come through, and it's not really surprising, is that, listen, the demographic we're talking of here, less likely to listen to a programme like this. It's mums and dads that seem to be more concerned that their young ones have changed their cars and they're afraid now that they're driving around with insurance. Not much we can do with that other than sort of furnish people with the facts.
Yes,
they're going to have
to
sort that internally in their household themselves. A couple of questions on tyres, bigger tyres, bigger wheels, bigger tyres. You did touch on that, but tyres specifically?
Yeah, so in relation to tyres, so say for in relation to changing tyres, if it increases the safety of the vehicle, so putting on winter tyres, snow tyres, they're not a modification that's going to affect insurance or the vehicle, because they're there for a safety aspect. If you are increasing the size of the alloy, so vehicle, we'll say the likes of, we'll go with an Audi A6. That comes in, you can get it with a 19-inch wheel, a 20-inch wheel, or an 18-inch wheel. So that's just one vehicle. So the car comes from the manufacturer as standard with three choices of wheels.
Yeah, three options,
So that's not going to affect the standard of the vehicle. So you do have a bit of leeway in that aspect. So just to make sure that if you are changing wheels, that if obviously going from a 15-inch wheel to a 19-inch wheel is going to cause issues, obviously, with the steering. It's going to be, make sure that it's not catching the wings.
And potentially the speedo as well, presumably.
Yes, so as you increase it, your speedo will not be reading the correct speed because the speedo is calibrated to the wheel that's on the vehicle.
Yeah. All right. Interesting stuff as always. Were you ever, you don't seem to strike me, Sean, as a, I can't imagine you in a Ford Escort.
No, I can't imagine me in another.
I'd say you're a cash guy. Fabia?
Oh, Fabia, yeah. Look, I'll drive anything.
What's your pride and joy, Michael?
Well, I've a Toyota MR2 is my vehicle that I've left for the last 10 or 12 years. And doesn't see the light of day too often, though, unfortunately.
No, I'm not a modified kind of car person either, Sean, just in case you think I was having a go. One other one that's actually quite important was to have you, LED lights. Now, there's the few things with LED lights. Some of them come factory fitted, right? A lot of cars, very high up.
Yes.
The lights are blinding. You can't do anything about that. Other cars, they adapt them. I don't know. I mean, if they come out of the factory, there's not much we can say about that. But is there anything in the area of LED that we need to talk about, do you think?
So in relation to the lights in the front of the vehicle, they have to be predominantly white or yellow. They have to be set to the standard. So we do see vehicles out there that are putting these big LED bars along the front. So that LED bar needs to be connected to the dip lights. That is not when... that they're not blinding oncoming users, and that they only work off your full headlight. To obviously, again, it's that's not blinding oncoming people. We do also see people upgrade their lights. So they do put in what they call the HID lights. Again, as long as they are set to the correct height and standard. There's
which will be picked up in the NCT.
Yes.
Drivers out there, especially with your big yokes, most cars, if not all of them, have a little dial that you can dial down your LEDs a little bit, please. You know what I mean? Because I think when people push that up and the lights come up, they think, yeah, I can see the road. But, you know, you can drop it down a bit, still see everything and just have a bit of courtesy for fellow drivers.
That's it. So those are actually in relation to, you'll see those with one, two or three. Mm. So that's if you're towing a vehicle. But that is also down to set number one is in relation to the vehicle having one passenger. A driver and one
this
passenger.
This is new information to me now.
Yeah, so setting one will be in relation to having a driver and one passenger. Setting two will be if you had three passengers. And setting three is if the vehicle is full.
So right, you can see then how that works.
Yeah.
So that's actually really interesting.
Because obviously if you had, we'll say, three people in the back of your car, mm-hmm. that'll reduce, that'll lower the suspension at the back and increase the front. So that's where you adjust it.
But don't lean back and say, right, folks, I'm going to three. Yeah. You don't want to offend anyone. Yes. That's actually really quite, that's almost as interesting when I learned that the numbers on your toaster was minutes. I always thought it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to do with how brown you want. It's actually minutes. But anyway, I digress. Michael, thanks for calling in. It's been really interesting, actually, and to get some clarity on some of that stuff. And some quite a bit in there that surprised me in different ways, actually. That's Sergeant Michael Kilcoyne from the Ballybuffet Garda Station talking about car modifications. And, of course, our thanks to Garda Sean Swinney, a regular from Buncrana Garda Station, with the appeals and information. Thanks, Sean. Really appreciate it. We'll be back with Community Garda information on the show after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday, but now we take a break. Kasia Kujea, Youth Information Officer with the Donegal Youth Service, is back in studio with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
Every time I see you, I feel, I'm another year older, and that is quite true because we do this quite annually. 12th to the 19th of April is European Youth Week. So talk to us about some of the efforts the Donegal Youth Service will be making over this week.
Yes, so first of all, we're not getting older. It's just another year. We're still young. You know,
you say it's just a number?
It's just a number.
Okay, cool. I feel better now.
Another year, you know. It's just still the same people and the same amazing European opportunities for young people in Donegal and not only.
Do you know what must be exciting for you, sorry, before you go in, is that every year you see another batch of new faces, and it's a lovely turnover in the job, isn't it?
It is, and especially after pandemic, we see the new faces that are reaching the age of our interest again. Yeah. So they're like 15, 16, 17, and we have brand new people to work with. So this year, European Youth Week, as you mentioned already, is happening right here, right now, across the whole European Union. And the big thing about, very special thing about this year's European Youth Week is that it's all about upcoming European elections. And the elections are happening in June. Yes, I was testing myself in June. And what we're trying to do with young people this year is to make sure that they know how to register to vote, how to go to the whole process, to not be scared of voting, to realize that how meaningful and important is to vote and decide about their future, because it's all about the future of the young people.
Yeah. And I saw we were chatting to a lady last week as well, who is from Poland, and how her life changed when Poland became part of the European Union in terms of the freedom to travel and the opportunities. She'd been in France, she'd been in Germany, she'd been in Spain, and then now settled in Ireland. I suppose it's that element, those benefits of sort of the freedom of movement too, that young people sort of need to educate themselves on and understand that it's not always about common fishery policies and farming initiatives and all that type of stuff. Kasia?
Well, to be brutally honest, we want to sell the idea of, you know, the importance of voting in the upcoming elections as what benefits you as Anna or Lucas can have out of this. And we're organizing amazing, amazing event for TY students that will be happening on the 22nd of April. So it's like next Monday.
Which is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday then. It's just a number, remember?
Of course it is. A very small number.
A very small number, yes. Don't forget to register to vote, by the way. But anyway, so we're organizing this amazing event that will be, we're trying to We're trying to create airport for young people here in Letterkenny. Woo, big stuff, you know. That will be happening in the Radisson Hotel. And whenever young people will be there, they will have a chance to go through all of the stages of going somewhere abroad. So we're creating like a real check-in where people will be registering for voting. Then we'll have the explanation of Schengen area and Eurozone and the history of duty-free, all of this stuff. And then people will have gates where they can choose what where they want to go Ooh, in the future. So idea, we'll be talking about the European elections and importance of the elections. We'll be talking about the European opportunities for young people, like volunteering, studying and working abroad. And then we will have amazing European quiz with the very nice prices available. So Brilliant. I think it will be great.
Okay, here. And that is, when is that event? That's on next Monday.
Next Monday on the 22nd of April in Radisson Hotel.
Radisson Hotel.
The thing is that right now we don't have any more available spaces because they filled up so quickly. But as this is the European Youth Week, people are more than welcome to visit Donegal Youth Service if they're interested in elections, if they want to know something more, how to vote. I mean, not like what is the best...
Which candidate? Actually the process.
It's just
the process
of voting. So
and you know what? I just
this.
Wonder if the next generation becoming, not just in Ireland, but across the EU, becoming sort of maybe a little bit detached or disenfranchised with national politics, if they actually might engage more with European politics. I don't know. That's untested, unproven at this point, but who's to say? Just remind us where the offices is, if anyone wants to call in.
So Donegal Youth Service, we're located on the Port Road, in the building of the old cinema in Letterkenny, if anyone knows where it is. We're located on the second floor. The lift is available, so is whoever really wants
fully accessible.
To. Fully accessible.
Brilliant. It's always a pleasure, Kasia, having you in. Thank you so very much indeed. Good luck with the
Thank
week.
Thank you very much.
That's Kasia Kujia, Youth Information Officer with the Donegal Youth Service, as enthusiastic as ever. We are in the middle of European Youth Week, 12th to the 19th. There's a big event next Monday. Unfortunately, it's at full capacity, but you can call into the offices to get more information about registering to vote, maybe the opportunities within Europe for you. What age groups are we talking?
We're talking about 16 up to 25 years old.
Cool. So there's lots of stuff going on.
Yes.
Thanks, Kasia.
Thank you very much for having me today.
We'll be back with the news soon.